I want you to picture a room, okay? And inside this room, there are 10 extremely successful, highly paid CEOs just sitting around a table.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
Right. Now imagine walking into that room and asking them a really simple question. Just, will your company even exist in 10 years?
Oh, wow. That's heavy.
It is. And according to some major 2024 research from PwC that we're looking at today, 4.5 of those 10 CEOs, so 45% of them, believe the answer is no.
Wait, really? Almost half.
Almost half. They genuinely believe their organization might just disappear entirely within the next decade.
I mean, that is just a startling admission to hear from the very top of the corporate ladder. You know, you don't usually see that level of like existential doubt reported in public surveys, especially from people whose primary job is basically just projecting confidence about the future.
Yeah, exactly. Projecting stability is what they're paid for. And that existential doubt, it sets up perfectly what we are getting into today for this deep dive.
Right.
We are exploring a massive, truly foundational transition that businesses are facing right now. We are moving into what the source material calls the intelligence age. And just to be clear, right out of the gate for everyone listening, we are not talking about the digital age or, you know, the data age.
Yeah, we've been there. We've done that.
We have a t-shirt.
Right, exactly. Because in the data age, the winner was really just whoever hoarded the most information, right? Companies built these massive servers just to collect absolutely everything they could get their hands on.
Just terabytes of random information.
Yeah, exactly. But in the intelligence age, the winners are the ones who can take that data and actually turn it into better human decisions at scale. And that distinction, I mean, it changes the entire objective of corporate technology.
Because right now, companies are pouring literally billions of dollars into AI, but they aren't actually transforming their operations. They are just, as our sources put it, automating the chaos.
Automating the chaos. That's such a good way to phrase it.
It really is.
Yeah.
And it makes sense when you think about how businesses usually measure their success, right? They look at financial metrics, KPIs, these shiny operational dashboards. But relying purely on those numbers to run a business is basically like trying to drive a car by only staring into the rearview mirror.
Oh, that rearview mirror analogy is incredibly apt here.
Yeah.
Because numbers are, by definition, lagging indicators.
Right. They tell you exactly where you've been. They tell you what already happened.
Exact.
But staring at the rearview mirror tells you absolutely nothing about why you hit that pothole a mile back. Or, probably more importantly, what the drivers around you are going to do when it suddenly starts pouring rain. It doesn't predict how people will behave under pressure.
Which means if the numbers are the rearview mirror, we really need to figure out what we should be looking at through the windshield. We have to move away from the limitations of purely numerical data, you know, and start looking at human-centric data. The core shift here is, well, it's profound. The future of business isn't taking data and just slapping a human layer onto it. It's actually taking human data and putting a business layer on top of that.
Wait, let's just pause on that mechanism for a second because that's huge. Why is training AI purely on those traditional performance metrics fundamentally flawed? Like, what actually happens under the hood when a business does that?
Well, when an AI is trained exclusively on numerical outputs, it optimizes for averages. That's just what it does. It looks at a massive set of historical data, it finds the mean, and then it builds systems that reinforce those past patterns just to hit that mean more efficiently.
Okay, sure.
But here's the problem. Human beings don't operate on averages.
Right. We're messy.
Very messy. Business performance isn't driven by an average. It is driven by variability. It's driven by leadership behavior, by weird team dynamics. And, you know, how a specific customer processes a complex decision on a Tuesday afternoon when they are incredibly stressed out.
Yeah, makes sense. So if you optimize your company for the average, you're building a system designed for a person who doesn't actually exist. And you completely miss the human variability that actually dictates success.
Which introduces a concept from our sources that beautifully illustrates this exact gap. They call it the behavioral iceberg.
Yes. Think of a standard iceberg, right? The visible part above the water represents only about 10% of its total mass.
Just the tip.
Just the tip. And in any organization, that 10% above the water represents all the things we comfortably measure and track on spreadsheets. It is the financials, the transaction histories, your CRM data, the daily productivity metrics.
The easy stuff.
Exactly. It is the what of the business.
But the ship sinking stuff, that massive 90% hiding below the surface that is the why and the how,
Right.
it's an executive decision-making style. It's a manager's true risk posture.
It's all the trust patterns and hidden cognitive biases running through a team. It's what actually motivates someone, how their stress responses trigger when a project goes sideways, and just their innate communication preferences.
And that invisible 90% below the surface is what actually drives the outcomes we see above the water.
Yeah.
Like if an executive's natural stress response causes them to, you know, delay making a critical pivot, that hesitation eventually shows up as a missed financial target in the visible 10%.
Right, the lagging indicator.
Exactly.
Right.
But you cannot fix that financial target just by telling them to hit the numbers harder. You have to understand the underlying stress response.
And our sources explicitly call this invisible layer liquid gold because it drives all the tangible outcomes, yet organizations almost never systematically measure it. It's this massive, entirely untapped resource simply because it has historically been just too hard to quantify.
Oh, absolutely. It is arguably the most predictor asset a company has regarding its future success. Without understanding that 90% all your shiny new AI tools are doing is taking your misaligned, human-flawed processes and just running them at light speed.
Okay, so how do we actually get to that liquid gold? Because honestly, trying to access and catalog that 90% below the surface sounds like a really great way to just drown in unstructured, squishy data. Like, how does a company measure human behavior without running everyone through a 5-hour psychoanalysis?
And that right there is the core technical challenge of the intelligence age. So the first wave of AI was entirely focused on solving what we call the quanta.
Quanta. Oh,
yeah, think of quanta as quantity counting things, automation, heavy analytics, efficiency. It's the realm of structured data. But to map the bottom of the iceberg, the next wave of AI has to solve the qualia.
Qualia, meaning the quality of the experience, the nuances of human behavior, perception, decision-making, things like that.
Yes. And the crazy part is we now have the technological architecture to actually do this. The sources highlight systems like the DNA digital scan developed by DNA Behavior.
Okay.
What these tools do is capture those deep behavioral patterns, the qualia at scale, but critically, they do it without friction.
Meaning no 5-hour psychological evaluations.
Exactly. We are not forcing thousands of employees to fill out endless forms. These platforms seamlessly capture a persistent layer of behavioral data just by analyzing existing inputs, communication styles, and micro decisions over time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And once you map that behavioral layer, your AI isn't just optimizing a cold operational system anymore. It is actively optimizing the people operating within those systems.
Right. Okay, here's a massive trap waiting for any company trying to implement this. If a business just buys one of these AI tools and slaps it onto their existing disconnected departmental silo.
Oh, they fall right to operating model fragmentation. That's a disaster.
Yeah.
Consider a standard enterprise, right? Your sales team uses one platform, your HR team uses another, and operations uses a third. They are completely siloed. If you drop a behavioral AI into those disconnected environments, it just scales the existing inconsistencies.
It doesn't fix the company. It just helps the silos make mistakes much faster.
Yes. You end up efficiently executing incredibly bad strategies.
Which is the opposite of what we want.
Exactly. So to prevent that fragmentation, companies are being forced to build what is termed connected intelligence. This is a unified intelligence layer that sits above all those operational silos.
Like an umbrella.
Right. It acts as a single source of truth for the entire company, specifically integrating this behavioral intelligence so that HR, sales, and operations are all drawing from the exact same behavioral playbook.
Okay, I have to jump in here with a skeptical pushback on behalf of anyone listening right now.
Go for it.
If we're talking about using an overarching AI to capture human behavior at scale across an entire organization, doesn't that inherently lead to a massive robotic one-size-fits-all approach? I mean, if I'm an employee or a customer, doesn't standardizing behavior at scale just strip away my individuality?
It's the most natural concern to have, for sure. But the functional reality is the exact opposite. Connected intelligence does not standardize behavior. It standardizes the understanding of behavior so the system can accommodate individuality.
Okay, explain that.
So right now, without behavioral AI, businesses generally achieve about, say, 80% personalization for maybe 20% of their top-tier clients or executives.
Mm.
Delivering bespoke service is intensely manual and incredibly expensive.
Right. Only the VIPs get the customized treatment. Everyone else gets the automated phone tree. Press one for frustration.
Exactly. But when you integrate behavioral intelligence at scale, you flip that model entirely. You move to a world of 98% personalization for 98% of your customers and employees.
Wow.
Because the AI understands the qualia, it recognizes exactly how you, as an individual, prefer to process information and build trust. The system adapts itself to you, rather than forcing you to adapt to the system's average.
Okay, that flips the traditional scaling model completely upside down. Let's take this theoretical framework of connected intelligence and ground it in the real world. If you're listening to this and you lead a sales team, think about how you currently assign your accounts. The source material has a fascinating breakdown of this dynamic.
Sales is the ultimate testing ground for behavioral AI. Because think about the legacy sales model. When a new prospect comes in, how are they generally assigned to an account executive?
Almost always by a geography or product line, like you cover the Midwest territory, so you get the Midwest accounts.
Right. It is based entirely on external logistics. But human behavioral data reveals a massive inefficiency in that model. The statistics show that naturally, any given salesperson will only really connect and build deep organic trust with about 40% of the people they meet.
Just 40%.
Yeah. That is just the baseline reality of natural communication styles and personality alignment.
Which means that 60% of their opportunities are fundamentally sub-optimized right out of the gate. The company is losing leverage simply because the salesperson and the prospect are geographically aligned but behaviorally misaligned.
Exactly. But when you apply a connected intelligence model, the AI evaluates the behavioral profiles of the entire sales team and cross-references them against the prospective client.
Oh, that's smart.
It matches them based on how they process information, how they define risk, and how they build trust.
Yeah.
So you optimize for human connection right from the start, completely bypassing the friction of mismatched communication styles.
The conversion rate implications there are just obvious. It's huge. But let's take this exact same concept of behavioral mapping and move it up to the C-suite. How does this intelligence layer affect high-stakes leadership?
This is where the financial impact scales exponentially. Because leadership behavior directly creates or destroys massive financial value. But human leaders making high-stakes, strategic decisions under pressure are incredibly vulnerable to cognitive biases.
Right. And the sources highlight a few specific biases that quietly derail organizations, like authority bias, anchoring, conformity, and loss aversion.
Take authority bias, for example. This is when people in a meeting room simply defer to the highest paid person or the dominant personality. Totally, regardless of the data.
We've all been in that meeting.
Oh, definitely. Or anchoring, where a team fixates on the very first number thrown out in a negotiation and they just can't adjust their strategy. These biases live deep in that invisible 90% of the iceberg. And when a leader makes a biased decision at the top, it causes what the sources term decision cascade syndrome.
Decision cascade syndrome. Think of it like having a single bad line of code in a massive global software update. Nobody sees that one tiny error at the very top of the script, but as it executes, it systematically corrupts the files, freezes the applications, and crashes the entire operation downstream. One biased decision at the executive level triggers a chain reaction of poor outcomes across the whole company.
That's a perfect analogy. And without a behavioral AI layer to catch those biases in real time, like to flag that the leadership team is currently suffering from conformity or authority bias, the loudest voice in the room just continues to win.
Yeah.
If your AI is only looking at the quanta, the hard numbers, it will simply take that flawed biased decision and execute it globally in a matter of seconds.
So if AI is eventually going to be so sophisticated at standardizing objective decision-making and preventing these cascade errors, here is the obvious question for any business leader listening. Why not just let the AI make all the middle management decisions? I mean, okay. Why not just automate the entire middle layer of the business?
That specific temptation leads us directly to what is arguably the most dangerous hidden organizational risk of the intelligence age. We refer to it as the short-term illusion.
Because automating the middle layer looks spectacular on a quarterly earnings report.
Oh, it looks incredible to shareholders. You deploy AI to remove layers of management, you reduce headcount, and you automate all routine operational decisions. Efficiency skyrockets, costs plummet.
Everyone cheers.
Right. But you are not just removing operational cost. You're removing experience, you are removing contextual understanding, and crucially, you are removing the training ground for your future leaders.
Which creates the core conflict our sources call the succession paradox.
Exactly. The succession paradox dictates that while AI increases short-term efficiency by handling routine choices, it quietly erodes an organization's long-term decision capability. Consider how a great leader is actually forged. Leadership judgment isn't built by reading a data report or watching a dashboard. It is built through pattern recognition, through repetition, and by exercising behavioral judgment under pressure over many years of smaller stakes decisions.
But if we over-automate all the moderate stakes decisions that middle managers traditionally make to learn those skills, the leadership pipeline simply dries up.
The reps disappear. And this creates a severe mandate for the coming decade. Moving forward, routine quantitative decisions will be automated. We have to accept that as a baseline.
Right.
Which means human leaders will be strictly required to handle the high stakes, highly ambiguous ethical trade-offs. They will be entirely focused on crisis leadership and managing human volatility.
Which are entirely behavior-driven decisions. They aren't algorithm-driven. It's like, imagine relying so heavily on your car's GPS navigation for a decade. You just mindlessly follow the glowing blue line on the screen. Left turn, right turn. You never actually have to learn the layout of your city.
Yeah, you completely outsource your innate sense of direction to the machine.
Exactly. You lose the muscle memory of navigation. And then one day, a massive storm hits the city. The cell towers go down, the GPS glitches out, and several main roads are flooded. You are in a full-blown crisis. But because you outsourced all your routine navigational decisions to the machine for 10 years, you have absolutely no idea how to find your way home. You haven't built the mental map required to navigate chaos.
That analogy perfectly isolates the danger. When the crisis hits, and in global business, the crisis always hits.
Yeah.
Eventually, you desperately need human leaders who have built a robust mental map. If you've automated away their practice ground, they won't know how to navigate the ambiguity.
Yeah.
This means companies have to fundamentally reframe how they approach succession planning. We must stop asking the traditional HR question, who replaces this specific role?
And start asking, who is developing the behavioral capability to make critical decisions when the system fails?
Exactly. We have to deploy behavioral AI not to replace human judgment prematurely, but to identify emerging leaders earlier and actively place them in scenarios that stretch their decision-making capabilities. We use the AI to design their training, not to do their job.
So knowing the immense stakes of the succession paradox, how does a company actually build a system that augments human judgment instead of hollowing it out? Like, if I'm a CTO trying to implement this, I can't just scrap my entire existing software stack. How does this integration actually work?
It requires a highly specific enterprise architecture. The sources outline a framework they call the Lighthouse Platform, which is essentially the structural blueprint for building an AI brain within a company. It doesn't replace your current software. It basically stacks on top of it in three distinct layers.
Okay, let's walk through how these layers function. Layer one.
Layer one is your existing systems. This is your foundation. It is the CRM, your HR platforms, your accounting software, your supply chain management. This is the standard operating software the business relies on every single day.
It's the visible 10% of the iceberg, the raw data and the transactions.
Exactly. Then layer two is where the transformation happens.
Sure.
This is the behavioral intelligence core. This layer sits directly on top of layer one. It is an enterprise data layer where platforms like DNA Behavior operate alongside AI agents and what are called digital twins.
Wait, let's pause on digital twins, because when most people hear that, they think of a highly detailed 3D computer model of a jet engine or a manufacturing plant. How does a company have a digital twin of an employee's behavior?
That's a great question. In this context, a digital twin is a dynamic, algorithmic profile of an individual's behavioral patterns.
Okay.
The AI analyzes how you communicate in emails, how long you take to make decisions in the CRM, and how you respond to shifting deadlines in project management tools. It builds a virtual replica of your decision-making style. So before a CEO rolls out a massive new policy, they can actually run it through the digital twins to simulate how the workforce will react. Will the sales team resist? Will operations get bogged down by stress? Layer two is constantly reading the hard data from layer one, but filtering it through these behavioral lenses.
Which naturally leads to layer three, what the framework calls performance enhancers.
Right. Once you understand the behavior in layer two, layer three is how you actively manage the corporate environment. This layer monitors things like psychological safety across teams, risk governance, financial well-being, and even aggregated biometrics. When you stack these three layers together, you create a single integrated intelligence system where every employee action and leadership decision is behaviorally informed.
But integrating this lighthouse architecture is clearly a high-wire act. The sources detail five specific overlooked risks if businesses implement this poorly, and they are pretty stark.
They really are.
The first is the AI trust gap. If there is no transparency in how the AI is evaluating behavioral data, employees will just feel surveilled rather than supported. They won't trust it, and adoption will completely flatline.
Yeah, the big brother effect. The second risk is data fragmentation. If those foundational systems in layer one stay disconnected, the intelligence feeding into layer two is incomplete. The AI will inevitably produce wildly inconsistent or even contradictory outcomes because it only sees half the picture.
The third is governance and ethics, which seems particularly tricky when you're dealing with behavioral data.
It is incredibly sensitive. If you let an AI make operational recommendations without properly calibrating the behavioral context, you introduce massive bias and severe regulatory risk. For example, if an AI misinterprets an employee's cautious decision-making style as a lack of engagement and flags them for termination.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you aren't just making a bad business choice. You're opening the company up to significant legal and ethical liabilities.
Right. Now, the fourth risk is the one that really stood out to me as a massive structural flaw, and that's leadership delegation risk. This occurs when the CEO treats this entire behavioral shift as just a standard tech project and delegates the whole implementation to the chief technology officer. It is wild to me that a CEO would hand over the entire behavioral rewiring of how their company makes decisions to the IT department.
It is wild, but it happens constantly because companies confuse AI tools with business strategy.
Yeah.
But this isn't a software patch. It is a fundamental transformation of the corporate operating model. If the CEO isn't actively driving the behavioral shift, it becomes just another dashboard nobody uses. And that leads directly to the fifth and final risk, which is cultural resistance.
Because if the culture lacks psychological safety, people will actively hide their true behavior from the AI.
Exactly. They will game the system. If employees believe the behavioral data will be used to punish them rather than develop them, adoption stalls entirely and innovation just stops dead in its tracks.
You know, when I look at everything we've discussed today, from closing that AI trust gap to hyper-personalizing sales behaviors, it feels like the financial return here isn't just about cutting operational costs anymore. It is about fundamentally increasing the yield on your human capital. What does the actual bottom line ROI look like for a company that gets this architecture right?
The return on investment really hits four major pillars. First, revenue growth, driven by the deep personalization and higher conversion rates we saw in that sales matching model. Second, cost efficiency, because you are designing processes that align with actual human behavior, which drastically reduces operational waste and turnover.
Third is risk reduction, because layer two is constantly monitoring for cognitive biases and catching them before they trigger a catastrophic decision cascade.
Exactly. And finally, productivity. When individual roles are mathematically aligned with natural behaviors, teams communicate with much less friction and leadership outcomes are sustainably better.
Which brings us full circle to that ultimate choice facing the 45% of CEOs wondering if their company will survive the decade. If you use AI to optimize your business strictly for numerical efficiency, you might have a phenomenal quarter. But if you optimize your business for decision capability by using AI to amplify the human element, you win the decade. The mandate is clear. Businesses must evolve from managing operations to managing behavior.
That is truly the only way to create defensible, sustainable value in the intelligence age.
It really requires a complete paradigm shift, looking clearly through the windshield instead of obsessing over the rearview mirror. But I want to leave you, the listener, with a final thought to mull over, building heavily on that succession paradox we explored. We know that AI is inevitably going to take over all the low-stakes, routine business decisions. So how will the organizations of tomorrow artificially engineer safe failures? How will companies deliberately build environments where their future leaders can practice their judgment, make catastrophic mistakes, and learn the mental map long before they are handed the keys during a high-stakes crisis? Something to think about.